Well, as Nate mentioned this morning, we'll be continuing our study through the parables that Jesus taught this evening. And the one that we'll be considering this evening is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And that parable can be found in Matthew chapter 20. It's in the first 16 verses. So at this point, Jesus had recently departed from Galilee, and he was in the region of Judea when he gave this parable. And I believe it's a pretty straightforward passage, pretty straightforward parable, but I would almost bet that there's probably some people in here that may have some different interpretations of what Jesus is really saying in this parable. So just to begin, we'll read over those 16 verses in their entirety, and then we'll make some comments afterwards. So there, beginning in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all the day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' So he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those who were hired about the 11th hour... And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered and said to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen." So like I said, I believe for the most part, this parable, this story that Jesus is telling to illustrate his point is pretty straightforward. There are some other parables, you know, like where you have the 10 virgins that are waiting for the bridegroom, and 5 of them brought extra oil with them and 5 didn't. And so when I read over that, a lot of times I'm like, okay, well, that's not something that really happens today a lot, that these women are going out with the lamps and waiting on the bridegroom. So just kind of trying to get an idea of, okay, just what really is this story telling? It's not really something I'm familiar with, but we're all familiar with the concept presented in this parable. We have some people that are in need of work, and we have the landowner, who is representative of God in this parable, that is offering these workers, these first ones that he sees, he offers them a denarius for a full day of work. So these men that were to be hired, they agreed that, okay, yes, a denarius for a day's work is a fair wage, and we'll go work with you or work for you in your vineyard. So later in the day, the landowner goes back to the marketplace to see who else may be out there looking for work, and he finds some more and tells them, okay, well, come on and you can work in my vineyard as well, and I will pay you what's right. And he does that multiple times throughout the day and even up until the 11th hour of the day. And he asks those workers at the 11th hour, "Why are you still standing here in the marketplace? Why are you not working?" And they say, "Well, no one has hired us." And so still, even at this late time of day, he still offers them work in his vineyard and tells them he will pay them what's fair. So a pretty simple scenario, pretty simple concept to grasp. So finally we see that the workday ends and the landowner sends his steward to gather the men and to pay them their wages. So, as the parable reads, the steward began paying those who came last first, those that only worked the 1 hour. and the steward paid them a denarius. So at that point, I would think it would be probable that those workers would have been pretty excited about that. After all, there were people at the beginning of the day that agreed, hey, a denarius is perfectly acceptable for a full day's worth of work. So these men that had only came and worked for an hour, imagine they were very excited to receive a full denarius for their 1 hour's work. So they took their denarius, went their way. The steward kept on paying each of the workers. And then finally they came to the workers that had been hired at the earliest part of the day. So these men had seen what had been paid to all of the other workers that had came later in the day. And at this point, they were fully anticipating receiving a wage that was greater than all of these others that had received their wages up to that point, because they had worked for a longer period of time. They had been there during the hottest part of the day. They didn't come in during the evening and work for an hour. They had been there since sunrise, and they worked through the hottest part of the day. And so here they are waiting for their wages. But much to their surprise and much to their dismay, the steward hands them each their one denarius. And indignant, they begin to look at one another and complain to the landowner, saying, you know, these last men only worked that 1 hour. They weren't here for the heat of the day. They didn't bear the full burden that we bore. So why are they made equal to us? And we see that the landowner responds to them, saying, friend, I have done you no wrong. Did we not agree that your payment would be one denarius for a full day's work? The landowner had kept his word, I mean, just as they agreed to at the beginning of the day. And to further rebuke these unthankful men, the landowner says, is it not lawful for me to do as I wish with my own possessions? You know, if anyone would have tried to govern what these men were doing with the money that they made during the day and how they could spend it and who they could give it to and how much they could give, you know, obviously they wouldn't have been very happy about that. But here's these men judging this man on how he chooses to give out his possessions. But his possessions were put to use as he saw most fitting. So then, getting towards the end of the parable, the landowner asks a pretty pointed question. He says, or is your eye evil because I'm good? So I don't know about you, but I think if I was one of those workers that had been there at the earlier part of the day, and I was complaining, found myself in that position of, are you kidding me? These guys came and worked for one. I mean, we pretty much had the whole job done at this point. They just helped clean up. Like, I did all the work myself. It was so hot. They weren't even here long enough to break a sweat, and they got paid the same. Then he says, well, is your eye evil because I'm good? You know, if they're really listening to what he had to say, it would be difficult not to feel embarrassed and to feel kind of childish about that. There are almost always two ways we can view every situation throughout our lives. We can either be optimistic about it, or we can be pessimistic about it. We can be the glass half full person, or we can be the glass half empty person. So these men were looking at the glass half empty. They were seeing that they put in a full day of labor, but they were given only as much as men that had only worked an hour. If they had been looking at it optimistically and out of care for other people, then they would have instead been amazed at the generosity of the landowner, because men that had only worked for 1 hour, he was kind enough and gracious enough to give them a full day's wages for their work for that 1 hour, which is a very nice thing to do, definitely not something that he was obligated to do. We read that he told them, I'll pay you what's a right wage. He didn't even necessarily agree to a full denarius. So, you know, it's possible that those men could have had families at home that they were trying to provide for, and it would be very difficult for them to, you know, care for their family off of 1 hour's worth of wages a day. But these people weren't really thinking about what they had to take care of and what responsibilities they had. You know, they were in the marketplace. They were looking for work. They just weren't hired. So that's not necessarily their fault. So just kind of looking at the attitude of these workers that were there earlier in the day just shows how greedy they were and how immature they were. But instead, the gracious landowner gave these men a full day's wages to supply the needs of those workers. So we see this amazing kindness. So then Jesus makes a statement saying, "For the last will be first, and the first last." So before we get into what that means here in this parable, I'd like to look at a few other passages where we see very similar phrases and verses throughout the New Testament. One of the first times that we see this phrase is in the preceding chapter, in Matthew chapter 19. At the very end of that chapter, in verse 30, at this point, Jesus had been just previously speaking to the rich young ruler, which we all remember that story, how he was asking Christ, you know, what commandments must we keep in order to gain eternal life? And Jesus told him some of the essential commands that we must follow in order to be pleasing to God. And he tells Jesus, "Well, I've been keeping these commandments from my youth. What more do I lack?" And we remember that he told him, "Well, you still lack. You need to sell your possessions and come and follow me." And we remember upon hearing that, he left sorrowful. And Jesus made the comment that, you know, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And the disciples had kind of questioned among themselves and said, "Well, then who then can enter the kingdom of heaven?" And then they thought, "Well, Jesus, see, we left all and followed you. So what are we going to have in eternity?" And Jesus tells them that they would have great rewards in heaven along with anyone that sacrifices houses or father or mother or children or lands, said that they would all have a great reward. And then Jesus makes a statement, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So in this instance, to me, it means that there are a lot of people who are considered first in this life due to their possessions and all the things they've accomplished in this life. But in the end, due to their being distracted by all those possessions and all the treasures that they have here, they would actually miss out on eternal life and the rewards that are in heaven. But on the other hand, those that are last would be the ones that, you know, didn't have so much in this life, and they didn't have all their treasures here that they were tied to, but they were looking forward to that eternal home and the eternal treasure that they would have in heaven. Another passage we see that similar phrase is in the book of Mark. In chapter 9, we find the disciples were disputing on the road about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus addressed the issue by telling them in verse 35, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." So we see that in this case, the first is being referred to as those that would have been seen, been esteemed more highly, and they have a lot of people serving them and tending to their needs. But Jesus says that if you desire to be first, you desire to have the rewards that God has promised, then you'll be last of all and servant of all. We'll constantly be having that love for our fellow man, that we're looking for all we can do to help them, help those that are in need, and be dedicated servants of others and ultimately servants of God. One final passage we'll look at is Luke chapter 13, and in verse 30 we see this phrase again. So there someone had asked Jesus if there were going to be few people that would be saved in the end. And Jesus said that we must strive to enter through the narrow gate, because many people will look to enter heaven but will not be allowed in. He said there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth when those that were shut out saw Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets of old sitting in the kingdom of God, but when they themselves were thrown out. And Jesus tells them that people from all over the world, from the north, south, east, and west, would come and sit down in the kingdom of God. And they would sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. So we see that when this phrase is used by Jesus, it has different meanings, a couple different meanings. So some were the first were those that had more possessions. The first were those that were being served by others. And in this case, seeing he's speaking of Jews and Gentiles. He's talking to the Jews and telling them, you know, y'all being the first desire strongly to be in the kingdom of God with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets. But there are going to be many that are from all over the world, from north, south, east, and west, that are going to come, and they're going to sit down in the kingdom of God with your fathers. And many, you know, who were first, who were the children of God, the children of Israel, were going to be cast out. So in the passage that we're considering, the parable of the workers in the vineyard, the intent of those that are first will be last and last will be first seems to be the same as was used in that last passage in Luke chapter 13 and 30. So I don't know about you, but for a long time, me personally, when I would read over this passage, I would think of that differently. I would read over this passage and I would think to myself, well, this passage means that there are those who are going to obey the gospel when they're younger, so maybe in your teenage years or something, and then you're going to have people that are going to obey the gospel when they're older, maybe, you know, in their 80s or something, but in the end, we're all going to get the same reward. It doesn't matter at what time the gospel is obeyed. Now, after reading over this more and studying and seeing what other commentators had to say, I don't believe that's what the intent was for this passage here. Not to say that I don't think there's any truth to that statement, because, I mean, always say all Jesus commands that we believe in him and, you know, obey the gospel, that we're committed to him. We have that change of heart. We're repentant. We have an example of the thief on the cross, who obviously he at that point had not been living the most upstanding life. He even admitted to that right before he died, whenever he was talking to the other thief and telling him, hey, we deserve what punishment we're getting right now. So he was admitting to, yes, I've done wrong. But he had that change of heart at the end. Jesus saw that change of heart, and we know that he told him that he would be joining him in paradise. So, but I don't believe that that is what he's saying in this passage. So, he's talking about these that were called earlier in the day to the service of the landowner being called earlier in the day to the service of God. So, from what I understand, that is referring to the children of Israel. They were called earlier. They were God's people from way back, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and they really looked to their forefathers as, I mean, they had a lot of pride in their heritage, which they should have. But we remember Jesus telling them on various occasions, you know, don't think to say to yourself, well, we have Abraham as our father because God is able to raise children to Abraham from these stones. Like letting them know that it's not your heritage, it's not who your mother and father are or who your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was. It's who you are and what your heart is. So many of the Jews, seeing as how they despised the Gentiles, they would have this attitude of, you know, how could God reward these Gentiles, these other people that aren't Jews, aren't children of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? How could they allow them to have the same reward as God promised to us? And that was something that was difficult, you know, for a lot of them to grasp. But I believe that that is what Jesus' intent was from this parable. And Jesus says that many are called, but few will be chosen. So, you know, all are subject to the gospel call, but few will make it. And that's why Jesus is saying, you know, strive to enter that narrow gate. So when we're looking at, you know, what can we take from this parable for ourselves, well, for one, I would say, you know, we're a part of that group that came in at the 11th hour. So it's very, you know, comforting, should make us very grateful thinking about that, how, you know, the people in the story that were saying, well, these at the 11th hour shouldn't be allowed the same thing that was promised to us. They shouldn't be allowed to be a part of that because they weren't here from the beginning. We were here in the beginning and we've come through, you know, everything so far up to this point. Why is someone that just kind of stepped in here at the end, why are they obtaining the same reward as we are? Well, you know, I'm in the group of those people that came in at the 11th hour and started working because I'm part of that Gentile group. So very thankful for that. Very thankful for the generosity of God to allow us the opportunity to be a part of in service to him. Also, I think from reading this parable, it goes to show, you know, attitudes that are displeasing, pleasing to God. If you think about those workers from the beginning, you know, if I think about a Christian and the perfect example of a Christian, the perfect attitude of a Christian, if I'm trying to picture that, it definitely wouldn't line up with these earlier workers that we're reading about, because these earlier workers are saying, so just saying, these people came in later in the day. They weren't here as early as me. I don't want them to have as good of a reward as I have. I want them to have something less. Sure, give them something, but don't give them as much as I got. And that's not the attitude of a true Christian. You know, we should be hoping for and working for the best for ourselves, but also the best for everyone else. And we should all want to obtain that same reward that God has promised us if we will stay faithful to Him. So really, those are the comments that I have from my study on this parable. I hope that it's been edifying to you. I hope it gives you some food for thought for the coming week. If you, at this point, have not joined the service of God, then we certainly would encourage you to do that and to take those steps to hear the word, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess His name before men, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and join that service and join that work for Him. And, of course, be faithful until death. If you have already joined the service and the work for God, then if you need any prayers of the church on your behalf, if you'd like to request that, then we can also assist you in that as well. In either case, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.